All right, now it is time for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you'll find Main Street Magazine throughout the tri-state region as a free pickup in so many different locations. And also, they have their web edition, which is mainstreetmag.com, mainstreetmag.com. We welcome in once again, Thorin. Thorin, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. You know, I was sitting here thinking, it's Halloween's this weekend, and
yes.
This year has the same vibe as the year we had the 40-inch snowstorm, where it occurred right before Halloween, and it kind of wiped Halloween completely out. It couldn't be done because of all the wires and telephone poles down and power being out. And even though Halloween is coming up this weekend, it just doesn't seem like it. Is it just me, or is that? I mean, you've got young kids, so but it just doesn't feel the same to me this year.
I'm so glad you say that, because there have been so many people who have said that too. It's like, oh wait, that's, you know, that's a few days away. How did that happen?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's strange, and the same thing, to be quite honest, even though it's been talked about for 4 years, it's the election seems like everything's happening in kind of like a vacuum around here, which is kind of crazy. And then all the towns always get together and do things for Halloween and as you enter into the holidays. And that's the question I wanted to ask you about. I know the amount of events that are going on after Halloween, heading into Thanksgiving and Christmas, just are down by about 85%. Do you see that in what your listings have so far?
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation, too, because we're working on our December issue right now, and a couple of my writers were actually saying, oh, you know, what about this event, the Rhinebeck Santa Claus Festival, you know, Winter Walk in Hudson? And so some of them were debating whether or not we should do some sort of stories about it, if they're happening at all. And so, you know, there's still a lot of up in the air. Like, I was speaking with Dominique DeVito yesterday, one of my writers, and she was looking into the Winter Walk in Hudson. She's like, well, they still haven't decided if they're holding it. And I know in Millerton at the last Business Alliance meeting, we briefly discussed the Black Friday, which normally and traditionally in Millerton has been the Parade of Lights, where the movie house always has a movie. There's a sleigh, you know, horse-drawn sleigh and all kinds of events throughout the day. So, you know, I was unable to attend that meeting, but there was no, to my knowledge, no decision made about what, you know, was going to happen. But obviously, you know, Carol will not be having, as to my knowledge, at least, a movie. There will be no horse-drawn sleigh. And I don't know the, you know, level of activities that we can have in town. But, you know, Columbus Day weekend, that we had a sidewalk sale in town, which went well, and, you know, people were socially distancing. But when you get, you know, more than that kind of normal size of a group, it's, and get to the next level, it's very iffy in how people are comfortable with it, if it's even feasible, if it's safe. And so, you know, even with Halloween, I know some folks I've talked to are like, wait, is Halloween still on? You know, there's a lot of uncertainty as to whether we're still doing something or not. So I think it's a lot of just things up in the air. And as you said, even with the election, it's like, oh wait, that's next week.
It's week away. And it's, what's interesting, Halloween in Connecticut and New York, it's been basically left up to the local communities. But in New York, and I urge people, if you're in New York, the Dutchess County website, if you go there and go to the Department of Behavioral and Community Health, they have a list of COVID-19 safety guidelines that are for not only the trick-or-treaters, but for parents and for homeowners and for anybody that might be foolishly consider putting together a Halloween party. There is a guideline. It's not hard and fast, but it basically is there. And I don't know if you look at the statistics, Thorin, but every day I check the statistics, and Columbia County is having a rash. And I mean, we here in Litchfield County have a spike going on ourselves, but in Columbia County, over the past week, they've added between 40 and 60 new cases of COVID-19, and so I think that communities are trying to be beneficial to people that want to have these things, but also want to try to stop this surge, which seems to be coming into our area.
Well, like yesterday, there was a case at Taconic Hills. It was the first case. They've been open almost 2 months, and we've talked about it before. It's the only school that I'm aware of that's just open. It has been open full time and not in a hybrid manner. And they had a case, and that student and everyone in his pod or her pod, we don't know who it is, but I think it was about 60 kids that were sent home. And I was just speaking with a couple of my friends who are teachers there, because they are in their families. They are teachers in the middle school and high school, but their kids are in the middle, middle school and in the junior high school. So they're my two groups of friends are at every level of the school, and so I was concerned, for their safety. And they said that they were all right, but the school immediately, took care of the person who had the positive and everyone around them. So it was about 60 people that have been sent home, but they're staying open, and that's their, that's what the district has decided. But it's, like last week when you and I talked, there were cases over your way at one of the schools, and they have protocols in place, but it's a little scary when it gets so close to home, and you're seeing your neighbors,
What's interesting and scary about it is that, like, in Taconic, one student, okay, it's just one student, but this shows you how, because it's not a disease that people can look at and know that you have it when you could really spread it. One person, it's affected, I think, a total of 70, 10 teachers and 60 students. It's right around there, and it might be more because they're continuing their contact tracing. All the things are working. The same thing happened over here, not to that number in the schools, but these problems have come up and they've dealt with it. Gear Village has the next problem where now I think it's up to 40 or 50
Oh, my goodness.
at Gear Village, not the nursing home, but at Gear Village. I think it's 10 or 11 staffers and 30 or 40 residents have COVID-19, and one of the residents who had serious health conditions on top of this got COVID-19 and passed away. And
Oh, no.
what's interesting is when our talk with the Sharon Hospital, Dr. Mark Herko, he pointed out the main difference. The first time we all got prepared for COVID-19, it was a disease coming from the outside in. And now what's happening in our communities is we have that it's now in the communities and it's now spreading in the communities outward. And that's the big difference, and that's why schools are so. I tell you what, I give credit. The schools are very open and transparent. They're not afraid to announce it, to announce what they're going to do. They all have plans in place. So, I mean, a lot of credit goes out to these schools because this is really for teachers, administrators, students, and parents. It's a tough situation. It really is.
It's really tough, and we're lucky to have Ian Striever, the principal of Hoosie, is one of our writers. Mary O'Neill also works at Hoosie, and as I've mentioned, I have a lot of good friends who are teachers at Taconic Hill. So talking with them, in spring through the summer into the fall was very interesting. And like my three of my friends I was speaking to late summer about who work at Taconic Hills. And I was asking them, how do you guys feel about going back? And personally, they did not want to go back. They, they were afraid for their health and for their children's health. But they were, we all see how detrimental it is not to be going back, and the impact it's going to have on the kids and socially. And so, they were literally saying to me, we are so torn because we're so afraid, but at the same time, we're afraid not to go back. And so they, as they said, listen, Taconic Hills is a pretty big school. It would only take one case to potentially shut the school down, but they were aware of that, and they worked all summer to, put these protocols in place. And here we are. They've been lucky that, they've gone 2 months without any case, any scare that we know of. And so here came the first case yesterday. I think it was at 2:16 p.m. was the announcement
Yeah,
was made, and
absolutely.
they immediately, they immediately notified everyone and did, here came the safety protocols. And so, as of last night and this morning, when I spoke to my friends, they said, we're staying open. They took care of it, hopefully, knock on wood, and they're still doing the tracing. And so we're just gonna have to see.
It was interesting yesterday. I called the Region 1 Superintendent Lisa Carter, and I normally call her just for a checkup, and she picked up the phone. So I said, "It's Marshall. I'm not calling about COVID-19." I said, "What I'd like to try to do with you and the principal Ian Server is, I want to do an 8 to 12 minute interview on the great things, the good things that have been happening with students and teachers since school opened. Because
that's nice.
Because it's all been overshadowed by by what has to be, which is COVID-19. So she's going to get together with Ian, and we'll record an interview where they talk about what students have been doing, what teachers have been doing. I mean, the high school itself this weekend, the FFA is teamed with the USDA. They're going to have a farmers-to-farmers food box, free food distribution, on the 31st from 9 till 12. People were inquiring what's going to happen with the FFA holiday sales where they sell trees, rope. Right now they're planning on doing it. So we want to publicize all the things that the students, administration, and teachers are doing in our region, and get away from COVID-19 for just a moment. So we're going to do that. But it's so hard. And you, as a monthly magazine, you've got your November issue, which is about set to come out, and like you said, you're working on your December issue. But so far out, it must drive you crazy trying to work what you're going to put in and not put in.
It's been a little challenging, particularly right now for December, because, as I mentioned, I was speaking to some of my writers yesterday, and it's funny because we are all in kind of my staff, we're very people are all over the place politically, and but everyone's very respectful, keep their opinions to themselves most of the time. And, as most of my readers know, I am not putting any of our political agendas out there. That's, not what we're about. So one of my writers yesterday was debating, what to write for December, and was saying that, it's hard right now because, usually they get their stories to me the first week of December or first week of the month. So like I would be getting a lot of stories in next week for the December issue. So they were saying, with the election, there's so much, up in the air. Who knows where we're going to be, for December and then with COVID. And I said to her, I was like, listen, forget all that. I think we're all tired of it. And there's nothing, at this point we can really do, except vote, to change the election. What's going to happen is going to happen. And I don't think that's going to change Christmas or Hanukkah or the holidays for people. We're still going to celebrate. So let's rather focus on things that we will be doing for the holidays. I think a lot of us are going to go back to basics. We're going to go, because we have to have smaller gatherings because there's the fear of, Thanksgiving and Christmas being, spreaders. So I think a lot of people are just going to go back to basics and go, what really matters at this time? And I said to her, I think this is an opportunity for us to really examine the things that matter in life and what the holidays mean and what we are doing locally. And just like you are doing with Ian in District 1, you're looking at the stories that are overshadowed right now and shouldn't be, because those should be the things that we really are focusing on. Of course, we should be aware of what's happening and we should be safe and cautious, but let's try to focus on some of the good right now. I think we all need it. So after I said, I did a whole, spiel about this because, we all have COVID fatigue. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about it, and it's scary and it's stressful, but we can't let it completely dictate our lives. We still have, children that we have to think of. And just like Halloween, we still have to try to celebrate for them, which is also for us. And just to keep our sanity, we have to have some sort of normalcy while still being cautious and still thinking of those and trying to take care of our neighbors as much as we can.
All right. In the last minute we have here, what's on tap right now for the next issue of Main Street Magazine?
Well, our November issue, which should be out later this week, is our annual art and design issue. And then we actually, before COVID hit last January, I decided that we were going to officially have December be our first holiday issue, focusing on the holidays. And I think right now it's more poignant than ever to do that. So we're right now working on our stories for that and trying to, get some of those good feel stories and just talk about the real things for the holidays that matter here locally.
All right. Main Street Magazine, available throughout the area, and also mainstreetmag.com on the web. Thorin, stay safe, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds perfect. Thanks, Marshall.
That is Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. And once again, you can find them on the web at mainstreetmag.com.